Nothing can keep me away from you. Just like Diana Ross says, there are simply too many things to know, too many people to learn about, and too many questions to ask. Good morning. I'm Liz Dalton. This is Liz Talk Sunday. And I want to know, how well prepared are you for that upcoming interview or that college application that you're filling out? I'm talking to Elaine Rosenbloom. She's an attorney, an entrepreneur, and in her words, a visionary at heart. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning, Liz.
So glad to talk to you. I know that a few months ago we talked about yours and your husband's test prep company, Access Test Prep and Tutoring, and I was so intrigued by the reach that you have with that company and what you all are doing for people, students, with testing, the ACT, the SAT, the LSAT, and now I know that you are doing another component related but not necessarily the same called ProformU. And I'm interested to know about that, how that came about, and what you're trying to achieve.
Well, Liz, I'm very lucky. I am sitting at a very unique vantage point. I am coming at this from an organizational and a corporate perspective, in that I've spent about 13 years teaching executives how to be collaborative negotiators. And simultaneously during that consulting period, I also started Access Test Prep and Tutoring with my husband. And I started being asked by parents of students to work with students on college interviews and grad school interviews and dental school interviews, medical school interviews. And in that work, what I was able to see is that many of these students coming up were living in a technology-oriented world, and I could see that some of their ability to be articulate was being blunted by technology, the very technology they were raised on, whether it be texting or computers. And what the irony is now we have two opposing forces. In order to be successful in an organizational environment, you actually have to be respectfully articulate. Mm-hmm. But those are the very skills that are being blunted. So I see this as an opportunity to look at the big picture and start moving the timeline of teaching respectful articulation not just to executives, but to young people coming up into high school and on their way to college and grad school, and teaching these skills earlier because they're the very skills they're going to need once they get out into the organizational or professional environment.
Absolutely. And for anybody who doesn't think that the respectful articulation skills are necessary, they are living in a bubble. It doesn't matter what sort of technology that we have, what capabilities that we have, it doesn't replace, in my opinion anyway, the human component of making yourself clear, getting accepted into a college or to getting a good job. It just doesn't. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
And I think that technology in so many ways has impeded the human relationship.
It has.
So how do you get a young person who has been raised on technology, all their lives, at least since they started school, to understand that?
Well, the first thing I do is I bring, and sometimes their parents are making them come see me, sometimes they are initiating the process, and I bring them in, and the first thing I ask them to do is to turn off their phone.
Yes.
And we sit and we chat and we start talking about what it is that they're trying to accomplish, whatever the goal be, whether they're trying to get an internship, whether they're trying to get into medical school, whether they're trying to ace a college interview.
Mm-hmm.
And I start asking them the type of questions an interviewer would ask them. And very quickly it becomes clear that their answers are not, they sort of tend to speak on the surface.
Yes.
And so I tease it out of them. I just ask them more and more questions, all the while being very respectfully articulate,
mm-hmm.
because I like to model exactly what I'm trying to teach.
Right.
But I'm I'm asking them very specific questions, and then I'm feeding back to them a little bit more specificity with each answer within the conversation until we build to an answer that fully blossoms into what it is they are trying to say about themselves.
Yes.
And then the second part of the equation is really helping them understand, especially in an interview context, what it is an interviewer is looking for. And different interviewers want or seeking different information.
Mm-hmm.
A college interviewer wants to know who you are. A job interviewer wants to know what you can do.
Yes.
And a medical school interviewer wants to make sure that you have the right motives for wanting to go to medical school. It's not just about your MCAT score.
Right.
They want to make sure that you understand healthcare policy.
Mm-hmm.
And can you synthesize the opposing needs of medicine and being in an emergency room with bigger picture policy issues?
Yes.
So that synthesization process is very, very important in a medical school context.
Absolutely. Well, this is very interesting because, you know, you still have technology. It still plays a role. Now you can't really even apply for anything unless it's online. And so you have to be able to articulate and get those points across, you know, in your essay or on the application, as well as be prepared for an interview. What are your tips for doing that?
Well, being prepared for an interview, first of all, you have to go through the whole technological process of applying.
Mm-hmm.
And being prepared for an interview requires studying and
mm-hmm.
understanding the background, understanding, A, the goal of the interview, your goal, the goal of the interviewer, and what types of qualities are they looking for, and understanding the conceptual picture of that particular interview.
Mm-hmm.
And then articulating what it is that you want to say in a very clear, concise way. And one of the interesting ironies, especially with high school students, is with the SAT in particular, they're asked these very arcane words. And I get this question all the time, do I need to use big words in an interview?
Mm-hmm.
And I say, absolutely not. That's the irony. That I think some of the smartest, most articulate people I know use the simplest words.
Exactly.
And that's the real art form of mm-hmm. communication.
I couldn't agree with you more. It really is being able to be to your point in a way that people understand. And that's the art of it, instead of using all these big vocabulary words, for sure. But people don't really understand that. So how do you know, so many people who are applying for jobs, for example, the employer will only take applications over the internet. They don't get
right.
a chance to speak, you know, unless they are contacted. And otherwise, you don't know where your application has gone. Into the big black hole, we don't know where it's gone. So it's very frustrating when you're in that position.
There's two suggestions I would give people with that question in mind. One is how your resume is written. And that's something else that I work on with people, is really sort of retrofitting your resume into the job specs
mm-hmm.
and understanding what it is that an organization is looking for. Some of that can be gleaned from the actual job specs or job description. But one of the advantages I think my clients have in working with me is I have walked the halls of so many corporations in a consulting manner, and
mm-hmm.
I spent 13 years in corporate marketing in New York City working for global ad agencies. So I understand how corporate professional organizations work.
Yes.
And what skill sets they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when I'm helping my students write their resumes, I help them understand that whether they've worked at a burger shack or spent a summer being an intern for a minor league baseball team,
right.
What skills did they acquire in those jobs that are called transferable skills?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to see it from the eyes and minds of the interviewer and the organization who's doing the interview. They want to know how they can use you or develop you into helping them meet their goals and objectives.
Very important. Transferable skills like what?
transferable skills would be, I mean, to go back to the example of I had a young man who was graduating from a top university who had spent a summer as an intern for the Savannah Sand Gnats. And he was on game day. That's a minor league baseball team. And he was on game day managing a team of 25 people ages 16 to 80 in making game day function. That's, you know, taking tickets at the door, concession stands, concession inventory, you know, taking the money from concessions to the bank at the end of the day. All of those skills can be transferred and translated into very meaningful, functional skill sets in many different organizational environments. And so you just have to think about what job you're applying for, and then how to articulate what you did in the past, your past achievements, in a way that person who is reading that resume is going to say, wow, we can take these skills and we can develop this person. This person has potential.
Yes, I think that's so important that people realize this. Would you say that's one of the things that people have the most trouble doing, is extrapolating those skills and understanding how to pitch them, if you will, to the person they're trying to get a job with, or a school they're trying to get into? They don't understand the connection?
Yes, they don't understand. I would say it goes to empathy and really understanding what the other person is looking for. Most people go into an interview environment and they just want to tell the other person who they are, but they don't understand that they need to tell that other person who they are in terms that are meaningful to the interviewer or the interviewing organization. That's a translation. It's like a different language, and that's what I really help people understand.
Yes, that is, that kind of leads me to think about the question that an interviewer asked that is so tricky but so simple. Tell me about yourself. What are they looking for? Just say a job interview in this case.
Well, it depends on what the job is that you're interviewing for. I mean, in a medical school interview, they're looking for something very different than an internship interview versus a full-up long-term job interview.
Right.
But there are great insights that can be gleaned in a job description, and that is where I always start with my clients and students, is let's take a look. Send me the job description. That's my first question with a lot of them.
Yes.
And once they send it to me, because I have spent so much time in the professional environment and worked with so many different types of organizations, I can help them figure out what it is, what skills that organization is looking for. They're not that different. I mean, different industries have different needs, but once you've been exposed to the professional world, there's a lot of crossover.
Right.
And so it's just taking your skill sets and almost retrofitting them into the organization or industry that you're interviewing in.
But they're not necessarily looking for, a chronology of your work history, and they're not looking for, you know, I grew up in Danville, Virginia, and have four brothers and sisters. I mean, they're looking, you're saying use the job description as a base, because that's a question that trips up a lot of people.
Or stumps them a little bit.
Yes.
You tell me about yourself. The personal information is highly irrelevant, and only becomes relevant if you have something in common with the interviewer.
Okay.
They really want to know functionally what can you help them achieve.
Yes,
I mean,
absolutely.
At the end of the day, organizations have goals and objectives.
Mm-hmm.
What are those goals and objectives? And you start backwards and go backwards from there.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, well, you know, for-profit organizations want to make money.
Yes.
And nonprofits have missions where they have goals.
Yes.
So once you understand that, you know, you speak in those terms, because people have very limited time today. We're all very busy. At the end of the day, your boss and your organization just want you to make them look good and help them reach their goals,
exactly,
whatever they may be.
I'm talking to Elaine Rosenblum. She is an entrepreneur, an attorney, and she has a new company called ProformU, and it's all about getting yourself prepared for an interview or for an opportunity that involves, how do you say it, respectful articulation, Elaine?
Yes, exactly.
While at the same time working with technology.
Exactly. Well, mm-hmm. how technology is affecting our communication skills in both the academic and the organizational environment.
And so I do think it is negatively impacting it, but how can people use the technology to their advantage despite that fact?
I think that they can use technology to find examples, let's say in a YouTube video, of people who are great at articulating or giving, watching examples of people in interview situations that give them insight into how you act and behave in an interview. This isn't just about respectful articulation, while it is a large part of it. Some of it is etiquette in interviewing, especially with the young people.
Yes.
I do want to talk about seasoned professionals in a minute, but another thing I am finding with young people is just the ability, just like your producer just said to me, when people send him emails and it says, "Hey, Matt," well, that's not really a very professional greeting in,
yes.
In an email format. So just teaching those small things, like how to write a proper cover letter, how to write a proper thank you note.
It's a lost art.
What?
It's a lost art.
It is a lost art. I spend a lot of time editing cover letters and thank you notes, or just the simple knowledge of that thank you note needs to go out within 24 hours.
Exactly.
There's no excuse for it to go beyond 20, you know, to go to the 25th hour.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Really, really pushing that idea, or walking into an interview room and not chewing gum.
Oh, my goodness.
I do a whole interview presentation for existing executives as well as students, where I give a whole lecture on no gum, and I advocate for Altoid Minis, because if the interviewer greets you while you're sucking on a mint,
right.
at least with an Altoid Mini, you can swallow it.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, you mentioned you want to talk about seasoned professionals. In what way?
Well, I started out, that's where I started, is working and teaching seasoned professionals to be better negotiators and to be collaborative negotiators. But I find that all of us, you and me too, as well, are affected by technology. I find that I have to work really hard, and I bet you share this feeling, that when I'm writing a text or writing an email, I force myself to write out the words and not abbreviate.
Right.
The reason it's important is because if you don't, it leads to miscommunication.
Mm-hmm.
And miscommunication leads to a lack of creativity and a lack of innovation.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, today's for-profit organizations are really looking for creativity and innovation.
Mm-hmm.
And the foundation of that is respectful articulation.
Very
so
interesting.
I need to work with my seasoned professionals as well and maintaining their respectful articulation skills and their ability to negotiate in a collaborative way. Technology's also blunted or negatively impacted our ability to be just plain old respectful.
Yes, and, I would agree with that.
And it really, really gets in the way in terms of just general communication between and among seasoned professionals. So I think movies and newspapers and just the television shows, we sort of live in, there's a lot of cynicism. And the way talking heads on news programs speak to each other, it's meant for entertainment, and reality TV is meant for entertainment, but it's very counterproductive to innovation in a for-profit environment.
Exactly. Well, we're almost out of time, Elaine. What would you say in terms of our best tips for phone interviews. We've talked about, you know, applying over the computer and using technology. We've talked about being in person. But for those phone interviews, I would imagine much the same is required, preparation, et cetera. But selling yourself, so to speak, over the phone, best tips?
My single best tip is that you must get dressed up mm-hmm. as if you were having an in-person interview. And I'm talking about your hair should be combed, you should not be in your pajamas, you need to be in whatever outfit you would have on mm-hmm. in an in-person interview. And I tell that to people who are also doing Skype interviews. If they can only see you from the waist up, mm-hmm. I want you dressed completely from head to toe. There is something physically about putting yourself in that space, you know, physically, emotionally, and mentally, that affects your ability to articulate and present over technology.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. It makes you feel like you're more serious or something. I don't know what it is, but I would agree with you about that. Anything, just in closing, for contact information or you know, things that we haven't touched on, if someone right now is looking for a job or trying to get in med school, you know, what is it besides contacting you that they could really do that would give them a leg up?
Talk to as many people as they can who are doing what they want to do. You will get great insight.
Excellent advice, Elaine Rosenblum. I will have your contact information on our website at WGAUradio.com. You've offered some very insightful information, some great tips, and I'll look forward to talking to you again and see where you're going next.
Thank you, Liz. I appreciate it, and I look forward to catching up with you and checking in with you.
Okay. Thank you, Elaine.